And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the breakdown of Western civilization, the failure of humanism, and what we're seeing in the present day is an ongoing breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, but also socioeconomic systems at the same time. 41% of kids born without fathers last year, up from 6% in 1970. The church itself is weakening, largely because the family is weakening, and fatherhood is incredibly weak. Therefore, you're going to have the weakest churches probably in the last 1,000 years at least of the Western world. So what we've got is weak churches, weak families, and weak educational systems. And in the midst of this, we're also encouraging folks to reconstruct all of life by means of the Word of God. Usually comes in fundamental ways by bringing families back together, reintegrating families in the present day, hopefully strengthening fatherhood, and one day having stronger churches and a better state where freedoms can be preserved by those who have the self-government within them to retain self-governments and liberty amongst the people. Okay, well, here's where we are right now. Interesting article coming out of not sure exactly where. This was a Gallup poll that was issued a year or two ago. Confidence in U.S. public schools at new low. America's confidence in public schools is down 5 percentage points from last year, with 29% expressing a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in them. That establishes a new low in public school confidence from the 33% measured in 2007-2008, and the high was 48% at the beginning of the poll back in 1973, meaning that confidence in public schools, the lowest they've ever been, half of what it was in 1973. Dave Buhner also in studio with me here. And Dave, I mean, this is a humongous fall in confidence. If you look at the other areas in which confidence has fallen in American institutions, Americans do not believe in banks. That's probably the area in which confidence has fallen the greatest, the most, at least in the last 10 years or so. People do not trust in banks. They don't trust in government. They don't trust in church or public schools. It turns out the confidence in the church or organized religion has dropped about the same percentage points as the confidence in the public schools. So we're going to talk about some of the implications of this on this edition of Generations. But Dave, just from the outset, what are your thoughts? I mean, here you have back in 1973, 58% of Americans very, very confident in public schools. They thought somehow public schools was going to be the solution to their problems. Somehow it would create a strong and healthy socioeconomic situation for the American public. But now that has fallen to 29%, roughly half of what it was in 1973. That's just falling off the cliff. I mean, think about it. That's a drop of 29% over the last 40 years. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. But you go back to 1973 and you had what 42% of the people had no confidence in the public schools. And that should be shocking, too, that roughly half the population thought that public schools were the wrong way to go, the wrong direction for the country. And it turns out that they were right, because they've won over another roughly quarter of the country to viewing that the public schools are certainly not going to be a savior. They're not going to teach children values, at least not the values we want children to learn. They're not equipping young people to become productive adults in society. They're not teaching liberty. They're not teaching honesty. They're not teaching diligence. What are they teaching again? Oh, well, yes. How to use an iPhone.
Yeah. And how to protect yourself from unwanted babies, I guess. Well, friends, man, this is a significant change in the American situation. Dave, I think homeschooling is only going to grow, because remember back in 1973 when this Gallup poll was first conducted, they had 58% in favor of the public schools back then. You only had maybe 10,000 people being homeschooled in America. It was a very, very, very low number. We were being homeschooled back in the 1960s and 1970s. I think my parents homeschooled up through about 1989 with the six of us. Began in 1967. Technically, in 1967 with me, I learned how to read in Portland, Oregon, where my mother taught myself and my sister how to read. And that was the beginning of the homeschooling movement in America back in 1967 in Portland, Oregon. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the numbers have grown substantially. I mean, back then, Americans were fairly positive. They thought the public school experience would be a wonderful experience for their children. They thought this would prepare their children for life and maybe even for eternity. But now you get into the present day, only 29% of Americans actually have have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in American public schools, down from 58% back in 1973. And we've got a burgeoning homeschooling movement. I would say somewhere around 3 million children being homeschooled in America today, which only makes up, I'd say, you know, 3-4% of the population. So we still have a fairly low percentage of the population being homeschooled. So 3%. Meantime, you've got 71% of Americans who have lost confidence in the American public schools. It's interesting, Dave, you got 71% who've lost confidence in the public schools, and yet only 3% public will go to homeschooling, which, and I'd say another 7 or 8% are probably private schooling. So you still have some 61% of Americans understand the public schools are a piece of junk, but they apparently are still sending their kids to these schools.
Kevin, I think it's a little bit like the drug addict, the heroin addict. They know the heroin's bad for them. They just can't get off of it.
Yeah.
So there's people that don't like the public schools. They think the public schools are bad, that they're bad for their own kids, but they just don't see the way out. They don't see public schooling for them as a viable option, or they can't afford private schooling. But what they have recognized is that if they keep doing the same thing, they're going to keep getting the bad results that they've been getting. You know, back in 1973, still children were able to pray in school, and there was still a little bit of a love of America. I was in school in 73 in the public schools. In fact, I think in 73, I was even back there in Massachusetts, and we would do the Pledge of Allegiance every day. There was still an appreciation for America. One of the crises we have, Kevin, is there's also a lack of confidence in American values. I'm looking at another study here that says this from the survey, just 15% of the people surveyed believed that America should try and spread its values abroad. 31% said we should try and learn from the values of other countries, i.e. France. And 51% said, you know what, let them do their thing, let us do our thing, and we'll see who wins in the end. Americans don't feel very special about this place called United States, where it was founded by dead white guys, I think that's what they're taught in the schools now, who loved liberty and loved God. They don't see it as a special place.
Well, Dave, I don't think the will to continue the country, the will to continue the public schools, is as strong as it used to be. That's the bottom line here, friends. The confidence in these sorts of things, confidence in the country, confidence in the government, confidence in churches, confidence in the public schools are sinking like a rock in this country. And there are reasons for this. We're going to talk about in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. We're going to talk about the future of this nation. I mean, it doesn't look very good, but if you come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, if you take on a different social view, a different worldview, and educate your children in a different worldview, things may be a lot brighter for you. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today in studio. We homeschool our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization and the breakdown of the confidence of a nation. And what's very important, I think, people to understand is that the modern nations survive on confidence in themselves. So just remember that. We have lost the trust in God. I know it's on the dollar bill that you're supposed to trust in God, but people don't trust in God. People trust in princes and horses. People trust in systems today. They don't trust
trust in God. If they trusted in God, we would be a nation that effectively feared God and worshiped God, and we would see a more and more fear of God, more and more trust of God, and less trust in the government. But what we have is people who have trusted the government for, at least a number of generations, maybe 4 to 5 generations, certainly since socialism took over in America about 85 years ago. We've had people trusting in government. They think that government is God and government's going to save them, but they've slowly worked their way over the line of despair, and they are realizing that what they've trusted is not going to save them in the end. So that's what we're seeing, friends. We're seeing a breakdown of trust in institutions, a breakdown of trust in churches, governments, and public schools. But as it turns out, Dave, there is still a great deal of confidence in technology. They still believe in military and medicine. Evidently, 75% of Americans are trusting in the military hardware, the military technology of the day. And it turns out also a fair number of people still trust in the medical system. So we have a much stronger trust in the medical system than we ever have. People believe right now that somehow technology in medical situations or in the medical system and the military systems will save us. But as it turns out, friends, technology will not save us. I know it's the very last hope that people still have to cling to. Somehow technology is going to do it for them. But you know what? The technology that's supposed to save us may actually destroy us, especially if we're using technology to centralize systems, to centralize medical care, to centralize control over medical systems. If we think that somehow centralizing control over American medical systems in Washington will save us from euthanasia or save us from spending ourselves into bankruptcy, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. Moreover, Dave, you think about this. If we trust in our genetic engineering, if we trust in our medical systems and our centralized economic systems to save us, who knows, but superbug may develop in some of these centralized systems. And according to the WHO, the World Health Organization, at least the president of the World Health Organization, modern medicine as we know it is about ready to pass away because the antibiotics that have been created to save us from all of these viruses and bacteria that are redeveloping constantly are no longer going to be as effective as they once were. That was an article we read on the air a number of months ago. But friends, here's where we are right now. Confidence in medicine is probably not going to be a good idea because if we believe in technology, if we don't trust in the true and living God, and we continue to put all of our eggs in the basket of technology, certainly in the medical world, we're going to see that thing backfire on us. Superbug could very, very, very well develop in not just these centralized cities where you have over 100,000 people crowded into one area, but now you have 25 feedlots providing 49% of the meat for this country. That's a really, really, really bad idea. It's going to give the superbug an opportunity to develop in these feedlots.
Yeah, Kevin, we are always at the mercy of God. All God has to do is withhold the rain in the nation for 12 months, and the nation's economy will tumble. I mean, imagine no rain that hits America for a full year. Irrigation won't be able to supply the moisture necessary without rain and without water in the rivers and water in the lakes to work it. So we're always at the mercy of God. We're always dependent on God. This is his world, after all. And so it's really God that we should fear rather than some of these other things, because God is in control of all things. Kevin, when we talk about confidence, and people are putting their confidence in technology, we're a little shocked, or it's a little shocking perhaps, that people don't have confidence in the government. Well, it shouldn't be. This nation was founded. The framers built the Constitution around the idea of not having confidence in government. If you read the Constitution, you read things like, especially in the Bill of Rights, Congress shall not make a law. Things shall not be infringed. Things are withheld of the United States government because we have no confidence in Congress. And today people have no confidence in the Supreme Court, and they have no confidence in Congress, and they have no confidence in the presidency. And they look to three branches of government and they say, I can't have confidence in this government. You weren't supposed to. You're supposed to have confidence in God. You're supposed to have confidence that liberty given to the individual will be a blessing.
And yet, Dave, you know that socialism has dominated this country since the 1850s. Certainly after 1865, socialism virtually controlled all the institutions, the universities, the schools, and the governments. And by the time you hit the 1920s and 1930s, the socialist parties are fairly successful, except for the fact they turned their power and control over the Democrats and Republicans, who turned themselves into socialist parties themselves. So who needs a socialist party? Who needs a communist party when you get the Republicans and the Democrats? And that's effectively what's happened for the last 80 years or so. You've seen a steady growth of progressivism, or that is another word for the increase of the purview of government into our lives since the 1920s and 1930s, thanks to FDR and LBJ and George W. Bush and all the others. So, friends, here we are. People have a lot of confidence in government, but that's fast slipping. And that's a good thing. I think, personally, people are walking over the line of despair. They thought that somehow man, by collecting power, could solve all of man's problems for him. That's classical humanism. And humanism really was man trying to define himself by means of individualism or by means of the corporate socialism of the day. And he's tried. He's trying to save himself, and he's finding that this stuff is coming up ineffective. Now, the Humanist Manifesto, the first Humanist Manifesto signed in 1933, signed by John Dewey and others, and they stated the universe is self-existing and not created. Man is part of nature and has emerged as a result of a continuous process. Man is at last becoming aware that he alone is responsible for the realization of the world of his dreams, and that he has within himself the power of its achievement. He must set intelligence and will to the task. This is John Dewey, believing that man was alone in the universe. Man was not really had any contact whatsoever with God, and he was responsible for establishing and realizing his own dreams. And not only did he have the responsibility for it, but he had the power within himself to realize his own dreams. That was the Humanist Manifesto signed in 1933 by John Dewey. And of course, John Dewey also said that the teacher in the public schools is the prophet of the true God and the usher in of the true kingdom of God. And he was very, very positive. People were very, very positive about the public schools in the 1930s and 1940s. That was John Dewey's deal. He believed that man would realize his dreams and have the power to realize his dreams. He signed that Humanist Manifesto, and he believed the public schools was the means by which that would come about. That was John Dewey, the father of modern education. Well, now, apparently, people are losing a lot of faith in the public schools in actually realizing those dreams. We only have 29% of Americans who are really positive on the public schools today, down from 58% 40 years ago. That is just only half of the supporters of the public schools that were there 40 years ago. And friends, it was a steady decline. If you look at the chart found on the Gallup poll site, you're going to see that there was a massive, massive, continuous decline in the confidence in public schools between 1973 and 2012. Why? Because man is discovering that John Dewey was wrong. Americans are discovering that John Dewey was dead wrong. And they're realizing that man cannot realize his own dreams. Man actually either must commit suicide, or he must turn and trust the true and living God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in the public schools, some still trust in the military and medicine, but we will trust in the Lord our God. That's what the Psalms tell us. And I think that man is going to have to figure that out. And Dave, we're going to have to go one way or the other on this. Humanist man is crossing the line of despair. And of course, Schaefer spoke of the line of despair. Man is crossing that line right now. I think, Dave, this is exactly what's happening to the masses. They're crossing the line of despair. We're seeing it in their culture. We're seeing it in their music. We're seeing it in their Lady Gaga. We're seeing it in their culture of suicide. We see it in their optimism, or lack of optimism in the public schools. We're crossing the line of despair in the West. The gods are falling. Dagon is falling in the temple. And I'd say good riddance.
Kevin, that's exactly what's happening. You know, first man denies that that God is in control, and they say, you can be as gods, the original temptation in the garden. And then it turns out that man is not capable of being God. He lacks both the power and the authority over creation. So, you know, the humanist hope that man would once be able to get dominion over all of creation and get to design the world how he wants if he would just avoid doing things to cause global warming or pollution or unwanted pregnancy or whatever cause du jour it was. And they find out in the end that man only makes things worse, and they have to come face to face with the very problem that they faced at the beginning, and that was the problem of sin. They cannot be as gods. That was the original sin. There is a God. That job's already taken. Their problem is that they're rebelling against that God. And the more they rebel against that God, the worse they make things in the world. And that's what's happening.
And it may take 100 years. It may take 300 years for that to happen. Personally, Dave, I think that the depression began with Nietzsche, began with some of the existentialistic philosophers of the 1800s. The philosophers ultimately admitted that there was no purpose. There was no meaning in life. Now, they thought that maybe the will to power would be some ultimate purpose, but then they had to admit that there was no purpose. So again, there's contradiction between the rationalistic thinking, the irrationalistic thinking of humanists, but inevitably irrationalism will win out because they've got to be more consistent. They're pressed to more consistency. They finally got to be consistent to the fact that there is no purpose for life and man ultimately cannot save himself. And that's where we are today, friends. Men are giving up on the possibility of men saving themselves by means of the public schools, by means of Congress, by means of governments, by means of the banks. There's far, far less confidence in some of these institutions. The Federal Reserve System, which is ultimately is responsible for the banks in this country because there's so much centralized credit under the control of the Federal Reserve System today. Well, there is way, way less confidence in the banks, way, way less confidence in Bill Bernanke, way, way less confidence in the presidency, in Congress, in the public schools today than there was 40 years ago. Actually, there's far, far less confidence in the television news. There's less confidence in television news than the public schools, Dave, than there was back in the 1950s. Or 1960s, 1970s. 21% of Americans are still confident in television news. 29% confident in the public schools. Still 44% are confident in the church or organized religion, which, I mean, that's something to be said. There's more people still confident in the church than there are in the public schools, meaning that maybe the church will be doing better in 20, 30 years from now than the public schools. If you look at the trajectories, it appears, yeah, there people are walking away from the church. They're walking away from organized religion. But in the end, friends, guess who's going to win? In the end, people are going to realize that these humanist institutions are not going to save them. They're going to have to turn back to God. Now, the fact that some people trust in the church may be a problem. Dave, I think there may be confidence in the church and probably ought not to be confidence in the church as there ought to be confidence in Christ, who is Lord of the church. That's where our confidence ought to be. So I'm guessing there are some people who have some confidence in their church out there. Somehow the church is going to be the source of their salvation. In the end, they're going to be disappointed because the church themselves, as institutions, are going to disappoint you. Actually, I think the Catholic Church has been, as an institution, the Catholic Church has been incredibly disappointing over the last 30, 40 years. In fact, we pointed out that there's been, 10,000 abuse cases coming out of the Catholic Church. I mean, that's just, to me, that's the Catholic Church as an institution has taken a hit. I'm not sure it's going to recover from. But Jesus Christ is still Lord of the Church. Jesus Christ is still the one ought to be worshipped, the one who ought to be recognized as the Lord of the Church. And his church is going to survive. Now, it may come out of the next 30, 40 years that, you know, a little bit of worse for the wear here and there, but it's going to survive. It's going to come out. And Dave, I think you're going to see this church maybe meeting in homes and basements across this country, but somehow that church is going to survive. It may not be living, working and operating in these large cathedrals, but it's going to survive in the caves and the basements and the homes around this country over the next 30, 40 years. And it's going to be victorious in the process.
Well, we know that because Christ says the gates of hell won't prevail against his church. I wouldn't want to pick on the Roman Catholic Church per se, because I'm not sure that their record in the last 50 years is worse than any other record.
Yeah, probably not.
I look at Presbyterianism in America, a church that I belong to, and I look at the First Great Awakening was necessary because it was a dying faith. I look at the Second Great Awakening was necessary because it was a dying faith. Old school, new school, old light, new light, it's the split after split after split. And I'm saying, where is the power in this religion? Where is the power thereof? It doesn't appear to be here. It doesn't appear in a Lutheran church where I was raised. It doesn't appear in a Baptist church. Where is it?
The Presbyterians are either splitting or ordaining homosexuals. That's a pretty bad record for the Presbyterian Church. I'd say a lot of these denominations, Baptist and Presbyterian, are splitting themselves into oblivion because they can't develop any unity over any basic truths. Meantime, you have another group trying to establish unity around the ordination of homosexuals and dogs and poodles and everything else. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, the church, Presbyterian, evangelical, Catholic, the church is rather in shambles today as well. Well, so where are we headed? Well, we're headed towards checkmate, either trust in the true and living God, worship and serve the living Christ, or bust. Dave, I think that's where we're headed here. I started out the program with kind of a negative note. And I tell you, I think the only optimistic note that we need to teach our children is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. All the other gods are going to disappoint us. And we had confidence in technology until the superbug took us down. We had confidence in the military until our cities gave way to the weapons of mass destruction and a couple of nukes took down some American cities. We had some confidence in the medical system until our whole socialist system went kapote and we didn't have the money to pay for anybody. So we had to euthanize 40,000 people in the year 2020. Yeah, we're going to have a point at which people are going to walk across the line of despair, or they're going to have to turn back and serve the true and living God and realize the only possibility for any optimism is that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead, and there is purpose for life because we have an eternal trajectory. We have meaning to life because there will be eternal life. There is something beyond death for us, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we follow in his footsteps. Dave, I think that faith has to be passed on to our children. Our children have to be way more optimistic than everybody else. I did tell our children the other day, I said, children, we have to remember that Jesus is risen from the dead. We have to remember that when we get out of bed in the morning and everybody else is wearing their drab jeans and their drab black t-shirts and they're walking around their high schools with these drab looks on their faces and nobody is really has any reason to be excited about the future. Nobody really has any reason or hope for the future of this country or of their lives for that matter. We ought to be by far the most joyful. We ought to be the most hopeful ourselves. And I think Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15, that we ought to be the most hopeful because Christ is risen from the dead. And if Christ is not risen from the dead, everything we're doing is in vain.
Yeah, we are of all men most pitiable. And I think what I see it's happening here, Kevin, I could sum it up this way. A man wanted to be God, and the God of humanism demands totality in its sacrifice. The government's going to want more and more taxes. It's going to want all the money. It's going to want to take away the wealth from your children. It's going to want to regulate how you live. It turns out that the God of humanism, that's just the God of self, by the way, is a very cruel God. Now, all gods demand total sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The God of the universe demands total sacrifice because it's all his anyway. But it turns out that he's actually a good God and a merciful God. And so I turn us to Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 is a very important psalm because it says, amongst other things, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Well, duh. It's better to trust the Lord than put confidence in princes. The nations surround me. The name of the Lord will destroy them. Yes, surround me. Yes, they surround me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And the psalm finishes on this note. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endures forever. We really have the choice of the God who is a merciful God, or making up an idol, a false God, making ourselves God. And we're going to find the totality of sacrifice to self is a very cruel, unmerciful God.
Dave, the system's coming down. The confidence in the system is coming down. It's the first thing that happens before the system comes down. Now 29% of Americans excited about the public schools, friends. 71% are not. And we continue to see the confidence in the nation, the nation's governments, in the nation's churches, in the nation's institutions, and certainly the public schools falling like a rock. If that be the case, then friends, here's what's got to happen. If you don't want to perish, then you have got to repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And the word repent means you got to have a fundamental change of mind and heart about, well, just about everything. You need to transform your mind by the renewing of your mind and conform yourself to the things of God's word. And ladies and gentlemen, the way that works is by training our children, teaching our children in our homes to a different metaphysic, a different epistemology, a different ethic. If you give that worldview that you find in the public schools to your kid over 18 years, they are going to be moving in the direction that the macro system is moving. And that is a direction of destruction. They're going to see their institutions unraveling around them. They're not going to have a purpose or a meaning for life. And when they get up in the morning, they're going to be so soaked in the metaphysical epistemological systems of the culture around them and the culture that's committing suicide and the worldview ideas that are being communicated in the public schools without any recognition of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the importance of God in every aspect of life and his providential hand in all of history. When they're not taught that, they're going to be depressed concerning the direction of the nation, the direction of history. They're not going going to have that purpose and that meaning for life unless you get them out and give them a different paideia or a different worldview. And you've got to sink that worldview deeply into the Word of God. Here's what's got to happen. Homeschooling has got to grow. It has got to, and it will grow. And it's interesting, the averages on standardized tests are only getting better all the time, while the averages on standardized tests in the public schools are getting worse all the time. Homeschooling scores are better on average than they were in the late 1990s. 10 years later with the race study, we're doing even better academically. Why? Well, academics actually do tie in to some of these basic epistemological worldview issues. And, of course, parents tend to be more involved in their lives of their children. They tend to be more future-oriented. They have some motivation to see that their children get a really good education and that they focus on the faith and the character of their children in the process of that education. And they give their kids a biblical worldview often in these home schools. So here, number one, be sure you get out of the system right now. Now's the time to get out of a failing system. Hey, the other side is admitting it's failing. They're double the number of people, or the percentage of people believe that it's failing than believe that it was failing back in 1973. So the other side believes it's failing. So if there's even a doubt in your mind that there may be a problem in the public schools, get out now. Get out now. And number two, abandon the humanist system entirely, even the classical Greek humanism. Man cannot define himself anymore. Be sure you root and ground your children in the Word of God. That ought to be the core curriculum of your children, and then give them the Christian classics. And we offer the Christian classics, by the way, on our website at generationsradio.com. Okay, number three, we must teach our children an optimism in Christ. We must teach them hope in Christ and in His resurrection. And number four, teach them to dance on the grave of humanism. The next number of 20, 30, 40 years ahead of us are going to be outstandingly optimistic times for those of us who understand that humanism was an experiment that was tried for about 500 or 600 years here in the Western world, and it's going to fail. It is failing, and we will dance on the grave of humanism. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would also encourage you to give your children the book of Proverbs, because that happens to be God's curriculum. That's God's book on epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics. It's God's wisdom. And give your children the book of Proverbs, and that's why we put together our study guide on the book of Proverbs, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.